Now, here is the director of the Broadway Playhouse, Mr. William Keeley.
Act Two of June Bride, starring James Stewart as Carrie Jackson and Betty Davis as Linda Gilman. Well, it's a few minutes later. Miss Boo Brinker has completed her phone call to Chicago, and there, at an army base...
You heard me, Mitchell. Those are orders.
You mean I have to go, Major Lynn?
Are you kidding? A week's furlough? Home?
Well, you don't understand, sir. My brother's getting married.
Well?
Well, he's marrying my best girl. At least she was.
Oh. Well, never mind. Home Life magazine wants you there. Report to a guy at the Brinker house named Jackson.
Yes, sir.
And in the Brinker house, only Boo knows that Jim is on his way home. Upstairs, Linda Gilman is chatting with the bride-to-be, while down in the pantry, Carrie Jackson is about to experience an unexpected sample of Indiana hospitality.
You've got to keep this jug hid outside, Mr. Jackson. Mrs. Brinker's very temperance. Keeps putting the cork back in.
Oh, I see. I gather that makes a difference, Mr. Brinker.
Well, it don't ferment if you keep the cork in.
Uh-huh. What is it?
Cider. Apple cider.
Yeah, you devil.
Well, here you are, Mr. Jackson.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't suppose there's a cafe in town that we could go down and have something really to...
Holy smokes, a cider? Well, I guess it's a little strong. That freezing don't leave much but pure alcohol.
Don't light any matches, shall we? Apple, those are just the plain apples? No.
Well, they're pippins.
I see. You know, I've bitten into many an apple, Mr. Brinken, but this is the first time I've ever had one bite back at me.
Well, how about another little snort, eh? What do you say?
How could I refuse? Yeah. Just apples, just plain little old apples.
Can I help you unpack or something, Miss Gilman?
Oh, no, thank you very much. Tell me something, Jean. Are you happy?
Oh, I guess I am. One thing's certain, I'm not going to be lonely anymore.
Lonely?
Oh, I was last summer. Nobody left in town. I'll say I was lonely.
Then Bud came along.
And I grabbed him. Now I'll ask you a question. Why aren't you married?
Mostly because I wasn't asked.
Why didn't you ask him?
Boo. Oh, now really.
Yes, Boo, now really.
You were listening in the hall again.
Well, it's the only way I ever get to hear anything.
Well, I think I'll change. Did you press my red dress?
I'll put it on your bed. Was it Mr. Jackson? The man you didn't ask?
Who is interviewing who around here? Excited about the wedding, Boo?
I think it stinks.
You do? Why?
I don't think I'll tell you.
You're being very cryptic, Boo. Don't you like me?
Oh, yes, very much. You're what I want to be, Miss Gilman. You're so... so sure of yourself.
I am.
And you're chic but deaf. As for me, well, I send away for the patterns and make the dresses exactly the way they say. But something just happens when I get through.
Not chic.
I guess it's just me.
Well, Carrie and your father seem to be getting along famously.
Miss Gilman, if you really wanted a man, what would you do?
I think I'd grab him, just like your sister.
You would?
But deaf.
Well, you better get ready for the barn dance.
I wonder what's going on down there.
Oh, I bet Pop froze it again.
Hmm?
No, nothing. And thanks for a very interesting conversation.
Well, I didn't understand it all, but I'm glad you did. Your eyes are actually opening, Carrie.
Hmm? Oh. Oh, I've been thrown away.
Feeling better?
Where am I? What's all this?
We're in a sleigh on our way home from a barn dance.
A barn dance? What? Have I been to a barn dance?
That you have. That you have.
He had a jug. Mr. Brinker had a jug, and he claims he made the stuff out of apples, just little green-type apples. Mm.
and time stood still.
I don't remember a thing. What's more, I don't want to. Who are the giddy juveniles?
They're going home from the Von Dance, too, where they're chaperones. And here's where they all get off.
Leave our creek, or off of Kid Boy.
Well, if you won't get up, Carrie, I'll just have to blow you a kiss.
Huh?
And don't forget Friday. You promised, Carrie.
I did? Sure. All right. Yes. Who's that?
Sally.
Good night, honey.
Good night, honey. I must have had a wonderful time tonight.
Yes, you did. Wonderful.
Just what kind of a wonderful time did I have?
Wonderful. One by one, you promised every girl in Crestville High to help her with her homework.
Oh, no.
It seems you're an expert on multiplication.
And then?
And then you went to sleep, not a moment too soon. You look very nice when you're asleep, Carrie. Very young and very innocent. Astonishing.
You know, you're mellowing. I think I'll help you with your homework right now.
No, Carrie, no.
Apparently, you've never walked home from a sleigh ride. Well, I advise against you. You know, the woods, it's bitter cold, and the woods are teeming with wolves.
Ooh, well, that settles it. Then I'm much too young to die, and besides, you're very comfortable.
Sort of like an old shoe. Gee, your cheek's cold.
It's getting warmer by the second.
You know, I'm beginning to like Crestville. All of a sudden, I kind of think I could settle down, too. I get a job in New York, stay put. I could even grow roses on Sunday, if that's what you want.
Could you really?
No.
As for me, I guess I'd look pretty silly following you all over Europe, carrying your suitcases a respectable two paces behind, and speaking only when spoken to.
We have what I believe is referred to as a problem, don't we?
Oh, Carrie, let's not make it a problem. Let's not even talk about it.
Why not?
Oh, you'd be heading for Berlin again, and I'd miss you so.
Oh, Linda. Linda Gilman is not a woman. How do you feel?
Wonderful.
Hey, you're just in time. How do you spell idyllic?
Do you want me to measure the curtains now?
Not now, Mrs. Lace. Why don't you do the living room first?
Already did.
We're, making new drapes.
That's nice.
How's the story going?
It isn't. There are too many characters, I think.
Mrs. Lace, are you sure you've got the right measurements for the living room curtains?
All right. I'll measure them again.
Mind if I read over your shoulder?
You can just call me when you're through smooching.
You should read over my shoulder more often. What was that?
Mrs. Brinker, Paula's trying to massage 10 pounds off of her. Paula has muscles like a stevedore.
Oh, when did Paula get here?
Whole staff arrived a little while ago. I didn't let them disturb you.
Hey, Linda, where are you? I thought I was supposed to take some pictures.
Be with you in a minute, Scott.
I give up, Linda. Just can't be done.
So you didn't want them to disturb me, huh?
I'm sorry, Carrie. What can't be done, Rosemary?
I'm supposed to teach Mrs. Brinker how to make a cheese souffle and other goodies, right?
Yeah.
Hiya, Carrie.
Hi.
You seen that stove in there? That's not a stove. It's a locomotive boiler. You don't need a cook, Linda. You need Casey Jones.
Well, do the best you can. And when you're finished in the kitchen, I want you to help me cut the living room sofa in half.
Look, how about sending Jean down here? I need some vital statistics, you know?
I know. But Paula will do all the necessary measuring.
Okay, I'm no good. I kill myself. Satisfied?
Jean's taking a bath.
Taking a bath? Well, why don't I just go right up?
Carrie, see who's at the door, will you? I'll send the bride down when she's through.
Well, who are you?
Who are you?
I asked first.
I'm Lieutenant Mitchell. I've got orders to report here to a Mr. Jackson.
What'd you say your name was again?
Jim Mitchell. I'm supposed to...
Sorry. Nobody at home. Everybody's gone. Boo? Boo, where are you? Boo?
Boo's helping with the wallpaper. Who is at the door?
Here, go away now. Smallpox, bubonic plague. Everybody's dead in here.
Well, please, Mrs. Brinker, if we're going to get any place, you've simply got to stop rippling. Paul has been really working her over.
What's she doing with a hacksaw?
Who
was that at the door?
It's a peddler. I told him we didn't want any. But...
peddler? That's an army officer. What's he selling?
Surplus airplanes.
Carrie Jackson, you open that door.
Okay.
Well, who are you?
I'm Jim Mitchell. I've got orders to report to a Mr. Jackson of Home Life magazine.
This is Mr. Jackson.
Well, how are you? How do you do? How do you do?
I know. You must be Bud's brother. How do you do? I'm Linda Gilman. This is wonderful.
It is?
The wedding would not be complete without you, Lieutenant.
Linda, I think maybe there's something you ought to know about this.
Your family and the Brinkers make such a
Miss
delight.
Miss Gilman, excuse me for interrupting, but I've been deliberately trying to avoid being
home. About him and Jean.
But what about them?
Jean.
Well, hello.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I'm home.
You are?
Yeah.
I thought you were still in Chicago.
No, I'm home.
These two young people were engaged at one time.
Harry!
See, it seemed like a very good idea at the time, but then I dropped it, definitely. I thought that
I might have known you'd do something like this.
If we're going to do something about that sofa, I'll need a saw. Have you seen a saw around here?
I hope you'll be very happy, Jean.
I am already.
I'm delighted to see that you're both intelligent young people.
Oh, you needn't worry, Miss Gilman. I'm going to be very happy with Bud. He appreciates me. He wouldn't go off and leave me.
Now, look, I've told you 1,000 times.
And if you think I'm going to wait until I'm practically an old maid to get married, you're very much mistaken.
Well, that's kind of nasty talk we like to hear.
Listen, Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson, this is pretty rough. If you don't mind, I'd like to stay away until after the wedding's over.
Anything you say, old man.
So long, Miss Gilman. Goodbye, Jean.
Well, for a moment there, I thought we were in trouble. I mean, about the story, I mean. Well, no harm done. Matter with her?
Nothing. She's just so happy.
Jim, wait for me.
No harm done. The whole June issue of Home Life magazine has just gone out that door.
Now, wait a minute before you flip your lid. Now, there's another angle to this thing.
Angle. That's all you think about. I have 5 million readers waiting for the wedding of Jean and Bud, and suddenly all I have left is an angle.
What are you going to do?
Try and persuade those two to be sensible, and I'd better succeed, if you know what I mean.
Well, I've got the dining room chandelier down, Linda. What'll I do with it?
Oh, later, Scotty, later. Why haven't we heard from Carrie?
He's probably dead.
Why don't you turn your motor off for a while, Madam Editor? We've been going like this for 3 days now, ever since the kids walked out and disappeared.
I should never have sent Carrie. I should have kept on looking for them myself. In less than 24 hours, a wedding's supposed to take place in this house, in this room.
Well... what are we going to tell Mama?
She's not suspicious.
Oh, no. She still thinks that Jean went to visit her aunt in Fort Wayne. But when Jean doesn't show up for the wedding...
Ixnay. Anything wrong, Mrs. Brinker?
I just wanted to ask if I could please have a cup of tea.
Oh, now, Mrs. Brinker. We've spent all week drying you out. You don't want to spoil your nice new figure, do you?
Well...
My, Mrs. Brinker, you look so chic. Mr. Brinker must be so proud of you.
Well, Whitman says he doesn't care if I'm chic or not, just as long as I've stopped screaming. Well, I think I'll just sit down and...
Oh, hold it, Mrs. Brinker. I better get some of the pins out of that dress first.
Oh, my, all that sawing and pounding. They didn't really cut off the front porch, did they?
No, it's not as bad as that. We just took off some of the scroll work.
Oh, I'm glad. That's the only thing
Linda.
I wouldn't want...
Linda, there's somebody here to see you at the back door.
See who it is, will you, Paula?
I think you'd better come, Linda. Mr. Jackson, he's come back.
Carrie.
I better close the door, Linda. Well, I found her, all right. Jean, Jim Mitchell.
Where are they?
Indianapolis.
What are they doing there?
Well, the last time I saw them, they were necking.
Oh, don't be funny, Carrie. Why didn't you stay with them?
Well, I felt a little out of place on a honeymoon. See, they're married.
Married? Well, does it? All right, Carrie, you'd better go inside and tell Mrs. Brinker.
Well, you're not going through with the story?
There isn't any story now, obviously. We'll leave tomorrow afternoon, do a quickie in New York. I can't leave this house in a mess.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you give up. Now, I started this thing for a particular reason.
I am trying to be very patient with you, Carrie.
Now, don't you think you're just taking this thing a little too seriously?
Seriously? I'm 2 days away from my deadline. We've already plated up over 6 pages of pictures, 1,000 words of copy, and here I am without a story.
Well, you've got the best story of your life, a real story about human beings. It isn't finished yet. But if you're girding up your loins to fire me, go ahead. Get it over with.
That's your usual reaction to a crisis, isn't it?
Simply walk away and let someone else clean up the mess you've made.
I'm just trying to get out from underneath of this labor versus management relationship of ours. Every time I get affectionate with you, I feel as though I'm snuggling up to the Taft-Hartley bill.
Well, you needn't be troubled by it any longer. You are fired.
Okay, now, what about us?
Everything is finished here, Carrie, including us.
Very easy for you, isn't it? A little soft music, a kiss or two, a wave of the hand, exit Carrie Jackson.
Well, I feel so sorry for you, and you're so sweet and so patient and so utterly dependable. And here I am being cruel to you on the flimsy pretext that you've just ruined everything we've done here.
Oh, don't give me that. You're not firing me because Jean Brinker ran off with a man that she should have married in the first place. It's because you're madly in love with me, and to you, that's a sign of weakness.
You are incredible, utterly incredible, perched up on that pinnacle of masculine ego, looking down at poor, weak, defenseless females and pitying them because they don't have beards.
If you had a beard, I wouldn't look at you twice.
Oh, very amusing, and a typical male reaction to intellectual defeat.
Me? Intellectually defeated?
Of course, I run into that attitude before. Every woman does the minute she starts to make a career for herself. Get back to the kitchen, mother. It's a man's world.
All I want to do is to find out where I stand with you, and all of a sudden I'm knee-deep in the battle of the sexes. What is this?
Carrie, right from the beginning, you have refused to follow instructions because I am a woman and not to be taken seriously. This whole trip has been one big hilarious joke to you. Laughing gaily all the while, you've deliberately ruined the story we set out to do.
You've got a darn good story right here, only you're so mad you can't see it. Maybe I have been a little flippant, but that's the way I am. I can't go around bleeding from every pore just because things don't go right.
Well, there's always Berlin, isn't there?
Yes. I only took this job because... poor, deluded dope that I am. It meant a great deal to me to be near you again.
You have changed. Whatever else was wrong with you, you used to be honest.
I came back looking for you. All right, the next time, you look for me. And one more thing.
What?
Give me back my cigar.
After a brief intermission, our stars will continue with Act 3 of June Bride. But now, I'd like to ask you a question. What would you like to learn? Television, agriculture, business, foreign languages? Or would you like to complete your high school education and receive a diploma? Perhaps you've got your eye on a future college education and would like a series of refresher courses. Well, whatever idea you've been toying around with, let's put the idea to work. Go to your information and education officer and find out all about the self-study and correspondence courses offered by the United States Armed Forces Institute.